and Swanty from Safe Pond Hockey. Thanks for you giving us your time. How are you doing and where do we catch you right now?
Thanks a lot for having us. This is Svante, and we are both actually now in Helsinki, Finland.
Yeah, thanks. We're doing very well, I guess. More specifically, you've just caught me coming home recently from my garden plot with my 3-month-old son.
Oh,
So
nice.
yeah, now transitioning from my winter hobby of pond hockey to my summer hobby of gardening.
Yeah, we were just like making some evening snack with the kids and baked some donuts, which is traditional, like
Very nice.
first of May delicacy here.
So most of our listeners don't know you yet. Could you please tell us something about what you're doing?
Yeah, all right. So we are pond hockey players. We really enjoy playing outside ice hockey during the winter times here in Helsinki. And then a couple of years back, maybe 6 years ago or something, we kind of realized that winters were getting shorter and shorter, and we realized that the climate change is actually affecting a lot to the kind of like the length of the winters here in Helsinki. And that's when we founded this organization, Save Pond Hockey.
Well, yeah, I'm Steve. I'm Canadian and I was born in Vancouver. I moved to Finland about 10 years ago to study. Yeah, and completed a master's in corporate sustainability. So since then I've been working on some projects in that field.
I have like my own IT business. We have some 30 people. We are doing software development and e-commerce development. And yeah.
Pond hockey is probably the most traditional way to play ice hockey, not only in Finland. What makes pond hockey so appealing to you? The cracking of the ice, the view, or what is it?
Yeah, I think pond hockey is the best form of ice hockey because that is like so easygoing, and you don't have to have like any previous skill set, and you can start whenever you like. And it's also like more connected to nature, so that if it rains you cannot go, and if it's like proper winter weather, then you can go. It's like a really nice way to play hockey in general.
Yeah, exactly. As Svante said, like for me personally, I love the connection to nature that pond hockey offers that you don't really get with playing indoor hockey. And I think being able to play hockey outdoors on natural ice especially is really special and has become quite like an important part of my life. So yeah, I hope every kid gets the, chance to experience that in the future.
Auf die Frage, was das Besondere am Pond Hockey ist, sind sich beide einig. Natürlich ist es die schönste Form des Eishockeys. Es ist für Steve und Swanty aber auch die Möglichkeit, Sport und Natur gleichzeitig zu erleben. Und beide hoffen, dass alle Kinder auch diesen Sport erleben und ausüben können. For me personally, I never played pond hockey. I just played indoor at arenas. I think there's a different level of ice quality, nature ice and ice in the arena. Can you tell us what's the difference?
Yeah, especially like also here in Helsinki, we have this kind of outdoor artificial ice, which is almost like indoor ice. But for example, last winter was like super good winter here in Helsinki, and we had the chance to play even on the sea ice. So we played on the Baltic Sea, and it depends a lot, like how the temperature has been like the previous days, and also has there been like some snow and so forth. So you can actually, last winter we spent a lot of time like trying to spot the best possible ice around Helsinki area, so it can be like almost perfect, so that you don't have to do anything, just push the snow away or not even that. Okay. Or then it can be like really, really bumpy, and then you need to pump some water on top of it in order okay. to like get it in playable form. So it changes a lot.
I'm really sad to hear that you haven't played on natural ice yet, Frank, but hopefully someday.
Yeah, well, it's Germany. It's not that cold here.
No, absolutely. No. Yeah, you need to come farther north.
That's the problem. But in South Germany, in Bayern, there are some frozen lakes and some frozen ponds where they play hockey. But lately, I don't think that they are frozen last winter.
Yeah. I think this winter they were frozen because they had like minus 20 degrees for a week.
Yeah. Oh, great. That's so cool.
That should do the trick.
Yeah. I guess thinking more about ice quality for indoor versus outdoor. When you think more about it, indoor ice is quite boring in a way, because it's always the same. You know what you're getting. It's the same consistent, smooth Zamboni surface. But as Svante was saying, when you play outdoors on natural ice, especially, again, it's really interesting, because you're kind of at the mercy of Mother Nature and the current conditions. And well, of course, as we've been highlighting, long-term conditions also have a huge impact too.
That's really good point.
Man sagt sich, dass der Unterschied zwischen natürlichem Eis und dem Eis in den Hallen groß sei. Ein Fakt, den beide unterstreichen. Es kommt allerdings auf Temperaturen und anderen meteorologischen Umständen an. Ein wichtiger Faktor für das Pondhockey. Im letzten Winter konnte man zum Beispiel auf dem Baltischen Meer Hockey spielen, da es so kalt war wie seit Jahren nicht mehr. Das ist allerdings die Ausnahme gewesen. Für Steve ist das Eis in den Eishallen schon fast langweilig. Es ist immer dasselbe und du weißt, was dich erwartet. Das Eis in der Natur ist unberechenbar. And is it always sure to skate on frozen ponds? What is the danger of accidents on the ice? Maybe where the pond is not completely frozen and you can crack into the cold water.
Yeah, it's obviously something that you need to take into consideration, and you need to like check the quality and the thickness of the ice before you go. And usually we have like some drills that we like just drill through the ice and see what is the kind of like thickness, and it can change quite dramatically, like depending on the specific spot. So you need to like check it out all over the place that it's like thick enough. But it really needs like some proper winter days before it's good.
There was just, well, speaking of like the dangers about skating, well, and doing any winter sport on natural ice, there was just some really interesting and quite like terrifying research out of from a researcher in Canada, actually, who was assessing the number of deaths caused by people falling through ice and either drowning or freezing to death or something like that. And in the last couple decades, basically, the numbers have gone way up as the winters get less predictable and people are still going on the ice as they normally would in areas that they have for their whole lives, perhaps. And one of the really awful things was that the number of kids who have been falling through the ice and dying is going up severely, and that's a pattern that's only going to get worse and worse in the future as ice becomes less predictable. Quite tragic stuff there.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely awful. Die Sicherheit geht auf zugefrorenen Teichen vor. Swante gibt an, dass man mit Drills die Dicke des Eises messen muss, bevor man auf dem Eis spielen kann. Es gibt leider eine traurige Statistik, die besagt, dass in Kanada die Zahl der Tode durch Erfrierungen oder durch Einbruch in das Eis mit der Folge des Ertrinkens im letzten Jahr rapide angestiegen sei. Das kommt, so Steve, daher, dass der Winter immer mehr schlecht zu berechnen ist und man sich nicht sicher sein kann, wo das Eis dick genug ist. Ganz klar ein Zeichen für den Klimawandel.
So we want to talk to you about your project Safe Pond Hockey, and we would like to know what it is and what you're doing.
What is it and what we're doing? Yeah, that is a big question. I guess as we've been trying to sum it up in a sentence, is it's a movement that we've started to try and kind of unite and mobilize the hockey community against climate change, which is the greatest threat to pond hockey in the future. And so to do that, to raise awareness and you know, have an impact, what we do is we organize outdoor hockey tournaments against climate change, and then donate profits from these tournaments to impactful climate projects. And yeah, so far we've organized almost 20 tournaments around Finland and donated over 50,000 euros to climate projects. And yeah, now is kind of the time when we're looking outside Finland's borders, and we're trying to expand our concept to Sweden and Canada, and actually Germany as well. So
yeah, wow.
We're going to be, yeah, thanks. We're going to be planning to have some two tournaments there in the Munich area in 2022.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The German guy has gotten in touch with us, and he'll be organizing those tournaments there. So that's really, we're really excited about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Steve nailed it already. I think the kind of like biggest idea is that we want to kind of also come up with fun ways to fight climate change, and we want to like make this kind of like forever lasting kind of like mindset that the climate change is not just like making climate nice and warm, but it's also like threatening important things for us Finns and people in like hockey nations all over the world.
Yeah, exactly. It was super well said, Svante. Like, yeah, climate change threatens like many things that people love, and for us that's pond hockey.
Auf die Frage, woraus ihr Projekt besteht, fassen die beiden es in einem Satz zusammen. Sie wollen die Hockeywelt zusammenbringen und gegen den Klimawandel mobilisieren. Denn dieser stellt die größte Gefahr für Pondhockey dar, weshalb sie angefangen haben, Turniere zu organisieren, vor allen Dingen in Finnland. Die aber expandieren aber auch aktuell nach Kanada, Deutschland und Schweden. Den Erlös der Turniere spenden die beiden dann an Organisationen, die sich mit dem Klimawandel beschäftigen. Für beide steht aber der Spaß an erster Stelle und im Vordergrund, und sie wollen aber trotzdem darauf aufmerksam machen, dass der Klimawandel nicht nur für wärmere Sommer sorgt, sondern auch für viele Menschen sehr wichtige Dinge gefährdet.
I think my next question is useless with this answer. It would be, what is your motivation behind Safe Pond Hockey? But I think your answer just...
I think it's like a really good combination of like having fun and then also like underlining this huge threat that the whole globe has. So kind of like I think in general also the fight against climate change must be also fun, and people need to like kind of like see also the good ways and kind of like positive things there, for example, like driving electric vehicles or something like that, so that there's like also thanks to technology there can be also like huge potential in this kind of like change towards kind of like more green way to live.
Yeah, bingo, nail on the head. There are like tons of exactly as you said, like lots of health benefits for us and other environmental benefits to many of the actions that we can take to tackle climate change. And yeah, I guess, well, as we have both said, I think our motivation is to save our favorite sport for next generations.
Yeah.
And hopefully they have same opportunities that we've had. I've been lucky to have. Yeah, and I guess now I have like this added motivation with my young son.
Yeah,
and it would be great to be able to play with him on natural ice as he grows up, and Svante has been lucky to be able to do that with his kids so far.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do, like bring your kids to the outdoor ice and play some pond hockey with your offsprings. That's amazing.
Die Frage, welche Motivation hinter dem Projekt steht, ist daher schon fast überflüssig gewesen. Dennoch gibt Swanty an, dass man zum Beispiel elektrische Autos nutzen kann oder den grünen Weg einschlagen kann. Auch im Alltag. Ziel ist es, mit dem gesammelten Geld Klimaprojekte zu supporten, um den Klimawandel zu, in Anführungsstrichen, tackeln. Den Sport, den sie lieben, zu schützen, stehe dabei im Vordergrund. Steve hat seit einiger Zeit eine extra Motivation, denn seit 3 Monaten ist er Vater und wünscht sich natürlich nichts Sehnlicheres, als seinem Kind das Pornhockey zu zeigen. Die Kinder und Jugend zum Pornhockey zu bringen, ist auch ein großes Ziel, um den Sport weiterleben zu lassen. Fun story. By the way, I bought my 6-year son inline skates last week. And he's skating every day with a hockey stick in the backyard, and it's just so cool. But the next ice rink is 40 minutes away from here. Even now with the pandemic going on, there's no ice rink that is open, so he just can skate in the backyard. Yeah, it's a little bit sad because it's May, but February, March, you can still go into the ice arena and skate with your boy, with your kids. But I'm really looking forward for the fall this year.
Yeah,
that we can make it on the ice.
Actually, during these pandemic times, the outdoor rinks and kind of like sea ice and those venues were the only places where you could play hockey in Helsinki, for example. All the ice halls were shut down, so luckily we had like a proper winter last winter, so we could play outside. Outdoor venues.
So I guess you two had a lot of Zoom meetings and conferences. Was there the question, is it worth all these hours to sit here and just talk and to not go out and actually play pond hockey?
Yeah, great question. From my perspective, we haven't actually had that many Zoom meetings or conferences so far. From my mind, we've mostly been trying to play pond hockey. That's what we love to do. So I think we've been kind of maybe lucky so far in being able to, you know, utilize pond hockey and do it that way and kind of have an impact through that instead of, Zoom meetings. Of course, this is wonderful being able to sit here and talk with you guys, and we'd love to do it more. But yeah, we've been lucky to keep a lot of our activism on the ice so far.
Yeah, there must be like a certain balance between like playing pond hockey and sending out the message by that, and then all the other stuff that is like supporting the main activities that we have.
So viele Zoom-Meetings, wie wir dachten, hatten die beiden trotz der Pandemie gar nicht. Pondhockey war die einzige Möglichkeit, in diesem Winter überhaupt aufs Eis zu gehen. Natürlich würden die beiden gern ihre Botschaft durch Meetings weiterverbreiten, aber konnten glücklicherweise mehr praktisch aktiv werden. Für die beiden muss eine gewisse Balance zwischen Pondhockey und der Verbreitung ihrer Ideen erhalten bleiben.
Speaking of numbers, can you really quantify how much time you have already invested in your project? Are you tracking down those numbers of hours?
We should have been. That would have been interesting to see.
Per week or per month or I don't know.
In the winter time, I think for both Swanta and I, it's countless hours.
Yeah.
And especially more and more during the last few winters as our organization has grown and we've got more tournaments going on and more opportunities, and now especially like outside of Finland too. So that's fair amount of work that we've done. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think, Svante?
Yeah, maybe like during those like normal years when we actually have the tournaments, it's been like a couple of nights at least a week, and then like when the tournaments are coming, then it's like you almost need to skip your kind of like basic work and just concentrate on the, say, pond hockey tournaments.
Okay. Und ich wollte wissen, wie viele Stunden man schon in dieses Projekt gesteckt hat. Steve hätte gerne diese Stunden notiert. Im Winter sind es saisonal viel mehr Zeit, die man damit verbringt, die Message zu verbreiten. In Wochen vor Turnieren sei natürlich mehr los als in Juni oder Juli. Dort ist es dann etwas ruhiger.
How can we access your work? Is it like just an evening project, or do you consider it like a real job? Or
yeah, well, I guess we're all volunteers, so in one way this is kind of an evening project, as you say. But I guess at least for myself, during the last few winters, I've only been working part time. On some various projects, so I've kind of during the winter considered, say, pond hockey as my main job and been working, you know, something between half time and full time during the winter months on say pond hockey stuff.
And I'm also lucky to be like an entrepreneur, so there's like always too many things to do, and then you can like during the tournament weeks you can like ease out your own work so that you can actually dedicate more time to say pond hockey as well.
Beide sehen sich eher als Freiwillige, würden das Projekt also eher als eine Art Nebenjob einordnen. Im Winter können beide aber nur in Teilzeit arbeiten und sehen Safe Pond Hockey deshalb als ihren Vollzeitjob an, in den sie auch entsprechend viel Zeit investieren.
Obviously this world is not in the best shape at this moment. What can our listeners do today so that we can play pond hockey again in the future?
One thing that keeps popping into my mind, at least, is like something that people can immediately do is just to kind of get active and talk about climate change. This is like the greatest threat, not only to pond hockey, but of course, like our whole planet. And so talking about it is really important, and addressing it in that way. And I think that we can all think about like kind of how we vote and how we consume, how we eat, and how we move around, and of course how we heat and power our homes also. So yeah,
there is like each individual can actually like find their own ways to like try to affect this huge problem. There's like all this kind of like selections that you make at the stores, and if you buy stuff or not to buy stuff, and there's all kinds of like small decisions that you can do that are a little bit better than the previous ones. And also like but that's definitely a good start to like just start to kind of talk about it. I think that's the step one, to be proud of like that you are on the earth side, so to say.
Okay. And speaking of buying, Safe Pond Hockey got a shop on your website. We will put it down on our show notes. And I fell in love with the polar bear. just for our listeners, just visit the shop. It's brilliant. Just to support Safe Pond Hockey, buy t-shirts and hoodies and all the other stuff for you guys.
That's fantastic. Thanks a lot. Yeah. All those t-shirts and hoodies, they're made from 100% recycled textiles, so it's really sustainable stuff at the same time too, so that's great.
What do you want more?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and actually there's some of the best t-shirts and hoodies that I own, so they're really good quality too.
Und ich wollte wissen, was unsere Hörer und Hörerinnen jetzt tun können, damit wir Pond Hockey oder auch im Allgemeinen das Klima retten können. Aktiv werden und über das Klima reden ist schon ein sehr guter Anfang, sagt Steve. Aber auch, was wir einkaufen, wie wir uns fortbewegen oder wie wir unser Haus oder die Wohnung beheizen. Swante zielt darauf ab, dass wir genauer hinschauen können, was wir im Supermarkt kaufen. Die kleinen Entscheidungen können am Ende das Große ausmachen. Der Webshop ist mir natürlich ins Auge gefallen und die Shirts und Hoodies sind übrigens laut Steve aus recycelten Textilien. Und es ist wohl die beste Qualität, die Steve in seinem Kleiderschrank hat.
So did you see a significant change in how the climate change affects pond hockey during the pandemic? Like, for example, in Italy, they said the waters were clearer or things like that?
I think, like, if you're referring to the kind of like to the fact that people were traveling less and there was like less emissions and so forth, I think that's like too short time for these huge mechanisms to like take any effect. It's like a longer term trend that the climate change is, and also like last winter was a really good winter here in Helsinki, but the climate is all about like long time averages and so forth. So there's like with these temperatures, it's you cannot see yet kind of like this kind of like small change.
Yeah, exactly. As Svante said, we actually just created a graph together with the guy at the Finnish Meteorological Institute to highlight what Svante just said, that even though, yeah, this last winter in Helsinki was kind of a cold winter compared with recent winters, we realized after like digging deep into the data that this past winter was actually still very warm compared to how winters were on average 150 years ago, which isn't that long ago when you think about it. So yeah, that was quite surprising for us, because we were all loving this past winter and thinking it's the most amazing thing in a long time. But even the cold winters now are warm in the big picture, on the long-term perspective. At least the pandemic did change pond hockey quite a bit this year, because as Svante said earlier, that was kind of the only sport that we could play here in Helsinki. Yeah. There were so many restrictions, and adult sports canceled it sometimes, and kids sports canceled it sometimes, and so there was a lot of interest and demand for the residents of Helsinki to go out and play pond hockey at the local rinks that were run by the city, and then also on natural ice when people could find it on safe ice. Yeah, so okay. We did notice that was there was a big change there this year. That was pretty cool.
Eine wirkliche Verbesserung durch das fehlende Reisen während der Pandemie sehen die beiden nicht. Die Zeit war zu kurz, um wirklich einen Unterschied sehen zu können, und im Vergleich war der letzte Winter relativ kalt, auch wenn er auf lange Sicht trotzdem sehr warm für Finnland war. Das letzte Jahr hat den Sport aber in dem Sinne verändert, dass viele Menschen natürliches Eis wieder für sich entdeckt haben, als die Eishallen schließen mussten und Sport verboten wurde. So if you don't point out events on environmental protection, which hockey team are you rooting for?
Yeah, I think like we have like in Helsinki we have two teams. One is playing the National League and one is playing in the KHL. I've been following this Jokerit, the one that is playing in the KHL, and I must say that team is my favorite, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, I'm from Vancouver, so many, many moons ago, I could say I was a Vancouver Canucks fan, but it's slowly, surely getting more and more difficult to follow over here with the time difference. I really love watching games live. So the first few years when I was living here in Finland, I would stay up until 5 a.m. to watch the Canucks playoff games, but you can only do that for so long. Go to bed at 7:30 a.m. before it starts really messing with your whole life. So I don't know.
I know.
Maybe there are some other people out there who can understand. I hope I'm not the only crazy one who is doing that. But it's I like I said, I need to watch the games live to be able to kind of connect with the team. So I'm a recovering Canucks fan, I guess.
Okay. Okay, very good.
Wenn die beiden sich nicht für die Zukunft des Pondhockey einsetzen, verfolgt Svante die Spiele von Jokerit, einem von zwei Teams aus Helsinki, welches in der KHL mitmischt. Als Kanadier schlägt Steves Herz eigentlich für seinen Heimatverein aus Vancouver, aber durch die Zeitverschiebung ist es schwierig, Spiele zu verfolgen. Außerdem muss er die Spiele live sehen, um wirklich eine Verbindung in der Mannschaft, mit der Mannschaft aufbauen zu können.
And so we are done with our questions. It was a very good time to have you here on our show, and we have a blast with you, and I hope you too.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. Thanks a lot for having us.
Super. Okay, guys, thank you very much,
and have a great night. Frank and Diana.
Gute Nacht.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye bye.
Ciao.
Bye.